Welcome back to Table Talk. Pull your chair back up to the table. Glad to have you here. Brent and I have pulled our chairs up to a little different table.
Yeah, it's all new.
Brent alluded to this earlier. This is live. This is from KNNA Radio out of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska.
It's awesome.
95.7, I believe. Is that correct? I get dyslexic with my
numbers. Got the producer. We actually have a producer in the studio here. You know, this is pretty scary stuff because when you got a producer, watch out.
Shazam.
I tell you, there's somebody in charge.
That just means that we would get lazy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But think about it, Scott. Somebody in charge of two pastors. I tell you, he could cut us off at just any second.
Aren't you glad we don't do divine service this way?
Right? Oh, man. It would be bad
preaching
news.
And there it goes.
The producer would cut us off immediately.
Of course, typical preacher fashion, we'd just go on talking, even if nobody's listening. Hey, let's get back to 1 Corinthians. What a congregation of people. Now, I always boast that the saints at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Eagle, that's the greatest congregation in the world, and I believe that. Can you imagine serving a congregation like these folks at Corinth? Lots of issues going on.
Yeah, and in a way, every congregation is like it, just like Corinth. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I dared to say it.
We don't have
even
these.
Eagle.
No,
even Eagle. Their sexual sin,
sexual immorality.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You got it all there too.
I agree with you.
You do, just like at Trinity Murdoch.
So Paul deals with a variety of issues impacting the saints there at Corinth.
Right.
And we're gonna jump ahead a little bit, folks. We're gonna jump into chapter 10. And he deals with all sorts of issues really related around the worship, if you will. And one of the things that we're going to look at here then is the Lord's Supper. So let's just jump in here at chapter 10, verse 1. For I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ.
What?
Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness.
I thought Christ was only in the New Testament. What's the deal here? Paul's messed up, I'll tell you.
Certainly.
Well, you know, that's interesting.
The rock that followed them through the wilderness.
Was Christ.
It's, you know, the way the brain thinks. Remember the old Prudential commercials?
Yeah.
That had that big rock just, you know, going through the background.
Yes,
and so I picture, you know, Israel, they're migrating through
the
wilderness.
You.
Yeah. And then there's this big rock that follows them, literally.
Yeah.
But Christ was with them.
That's the point. As Israel was taken care of through those creaturely things, Christ was present.
So the same spiritual food and the same spiritual drink.
Yeah. Notice they're baptized
mm-hmm.
and then they're fed on the way to the promised land. So God gives them food for the journey, if you will, doesn't he? Manna,
absolutely.
Quail, water.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's Paul teaching from the Old Testament to make the comparison in the New Testament, that you people are on the way. You're going somewhere. You're going to the heavenly promised land. And
you are Israel, as he said in chapter 9, really.
Yeah.
You know, identifying Israel not as the bloodline, but those who are
believers
in
right?
Christ.
Yeah. But notice the parallel, Old Testament, New Testament, baptized, walking through the wilderness of the world, if you will, and then going to the promised land. So now the New Testament, same way. You've been baptized into Christ. You've been given food for the journey, and he addresses what the food is. It's the Lord's Supper
mm-hmm.
to go to heaven. But he draws, again, notice the pastoral care that Paul gives the Corinthians by showing them, now look, let's not be like ancient Israel who despised these gifts and didn't believe. Because I think you read it. It was verse 5. Yeah.
Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness.
Yeah, they kept grumbling. They kept complaining about the gifts. The Lord's, imagine this, God provides them food for their journey to keep them going. And they complain about it. They didn't trust the Lord.
Yeah.
Give us something else. Give us, you know, would you bring us out here to die? I mean, at least when we were in Egypt, we had something to eat. Leeks and onions and garlic.
Didn't we tell you just to leave us there?
Yeah.
I mean, it's this roller coaster of the Lord providing than the people falling back into grumbling, unbelief, rebellion, the Lord repenting them, and it's just this roller coaster, isn't it?
Yeah. So, by the way, New Testament's no different than Old Testament. That is to say, the New Testament church is no different than the Old Testament church. And that's why Paul says in verse 6, these things occurred as examples to do what? To keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did, like being idolaters. Verse 7, when the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. You want to talk about a contemporary worship service in the Old Testament? It was in Exodus 32, I believe, when they made, with Aaron's help, the golden calf.
Right.
That was contemporary worship, folks. Watch how that works. Contemporary worship usually is a euphemism for idolatry. Seriously, it is. Mm-hmm. Because you want to do what the people of the times are doing. And what are the people? That's what contemporary means. Do what's at the moment. And usually what's done at the moment is, all right, let's do what everybody else is doing. Let's worship an idol.
And you noted Aaron's involvement in that.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, he...
The leaders are often co-opted by the will of the people.
Here is your God, O Israel. Here's he pointed to the golden calf and said, here's the God who brought you out of Egypt. Worship it.
Here's your Redeemer.
That's right. Well, and so what happened? Let's continue to read this because, again, this fits with what we talked about earlier. Verse 8, we should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. Notice what was going on in this so-called contemporary worship in Exodus 32. It was sexual immorality.
Right. The euphemism, and I have the ESV, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.
And literally, it's naughty stuff.
Right. Sexual immorality.
Yes, exactly right.
But within the religious context, this is spiritual. I mean, think of Corinth once again. We talked about this a while back, and the pagan temples there, and the temple prostitutes. You know, this is the context in which these Corinthians live, and Paul's addressing this. And it's not just it's not something new that happens in Corinth. We should learn from Israel of old.
Right.
They're examples
That's
for
right.
us.
That's right. Very quickly then he says, finishing verse 8, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did, and they were killed by snakes. Don't grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what's common to man. And God's faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he'll provide a way out so that you can stand up under it.
So let me give an example of that, how God provides the way out. So as we were talking earlier about the temptation to sexual immorality, one of the ways that God provides the way out is gives you a spouse.
Marriage.
A marriage. A husband, a wife.
That's right. That's the remedy.
Absolutely.
He provides that. The fallen man, fallen woman. Get married. You want to have sex? Get married.
Absolutely. Enjoy.
Enjoy it. That's right. Now, it has to address the Lord's Supper now in chapter 10. Now, I'm picking up at verse 14.
Okay.
Flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Rhetorical questions, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the answers to each question, Scott?
Yes. Yes. Hey, now what was your translation?
Well, you're talking about participation?
A participation, is that what yours
says?
Yeah,
that's what I have.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's yours?
Participation.
Another way of translating is communion. And fellowship.
I like to use that word communion. Common union.
Or a co-union, right?
Right. Two or more things have something in common. And so in this instance, the cup of blessing that we bless, it has a common union with what? The blood of Christ.
Right.
And same thing, the bread that we break, a common union or a communion
right.
with the body of Christ.
Just real quickly, so when you eat and drink at the Lord's Supper, you're getting the body and blood of Christ with the bread and wine. Now, let's connect this with the context. In Corinth, you would do this. Well, think about it. Let's back up. Let's back this bus up. In pagan Corinth, there were meals that you would eat, and it was all associated with sexual immorality, the temple prostitutes, mm-hmm. etc. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a convert, you're going to think the Lord's Supper is, oh, that must be a parallel universe to what I just came from. So therefore, okay, let's just keep on doing what we've been doing. Not at all. It's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
Okay. And then there's, so there's, you have to understand what the Lord's Supper really is, that you're actually united. There's a communion with you and his body and blood. And therefore, you treat each other differently, not as objects for your own personal gratification, but rather as the body of Christ, loving each other in God-pleasing ways. Now, what's the other verse say? Because this is really interesting. You got it handy? The next verse? 17.
Yeah, because there is one bread. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread.
See, now Paul has to address this later in chapter 11 in another way, when he has to address specifically what people were teaching about the Lord's Supper in Corinth. I mean, we are not freewheeling individuals in the Christian church. Now, I know that's a shocker, because Americans, that's what America, being American, is all about. Freewheeling people, doing whatever we want, believing anything we want, treating people however we want. In that way.
An island unto myself where I am the king.
It's not that way at all.
It's not. Not for the Christian. Certainly the Christian is an individual, yet he's part of the body.
See, that's the thing. Communion, that's one of the names for the Lord's Supper, is Holy Communion. There is a co-union between you and the Lord, eating, drinking his body and blood. You've been bodied, you've been bloodied with him and the people that you eat with. You are united with those folks as well.
Yeah, if you are in Christ, well, you are in Christ with everyone else who is in Christ by faith.
And those who eat and drink at the Lord's Supper with
yes,
you.
Yes, that's that. There we see that communion visibly, don't we?
And by the way, we just have a minute or so. This just I don't want to open up a can of worms here, but just I have to say it. This is where we learn that it's at the Lord's Supper that everything comes to a head. All doctrine comes to a head at the Lord's Supper. When you have a problem with the Lord's Supper, you usually have a problem with lots of other things too.
Right, right.
That's just a side note.
Yep.
Test it out.
Oh, that's a little teaser, folks. We could go so many different directions with that, but I think we're running out of time here, so we're going to wrap it up. Say thanks to our hosts here at KNNA.
Yep, thanks.
It's been a blast being live here in the studio. Folks, we hope you'll join us again next week for Table Talk.